Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It has been for some time a concern to many of us that war is being waged in a non-kinetic way on our culture, on our society, on our civilization, really, by those who adhere to a program that is utterly at odds with those Western values, Judeo-Christian values specifically, that have guided and shaped and inspired Western civilization for many, many centuries now. A woman who has thoughtfully and courageously addressed these issues for years is a woman who formerly was a Muslim and now is a Christian, formerly lived in Egypt, now lives in the United States. She is a founder of Arabs for Israel. She is also the director of Former Muslims United. You can find her writings these days, among other places, at the Gatestone Institute. And I'm very proud to say she is a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy. She is, of course, Noni Darwish, the author of a number of important books, including Now They Call Me Infidel, Why I Renounce Jihad for America, Israel, and the War on Terror, and most recently, Wholly Different, Why I Chose Biblical Values Over Islamic Values. Noni Darwish, thank you for taking some time with us. It's so good to talk with you. Welcome back.
My pleasure always, Frank. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you about something that I've been mulling for a while, and I know you've thought deeply about, and that is the fact that in the midst of this increasingly frenetic debate in America about the practice of many in public life, notably politicians, prominent journalists, celebrities of various kinds, and their sexual misconduct, that there's missing almost entirely from the conversation an appropriate focus on what is, in a way, an institutionalized form of misogyny, I guess, hatred, mistreatment, abuse of women most especially, namely, the practice of Sharia supremacism. You've lived under it, you've encountered it, you've warned about it, you have particularly helped explain to many of us how serious a problem that is in America. Talk a little bit about this phenomenon, if you would, Noni. Why is it we seem to be missing this, well, elephant in the room, for want of a better expression?
Exactly. When I lived under Sharia, Frank, I felt inferior as a woman. And this is a fact. Men did not treat women with respect at all. Just the ordinary interaction, you go into a store to buy something, and a man will size you up, the store owner, and he could be very disrespectful if you're not a very wealthy family. He would treat you like a piece of meat. And this is part of the culture that is the least is disrespect. But it's institutionalized. It's in the law to oppress women. It's in the law to make them feel inferior. It's in the law to stand against them at every law and every activity in society.
Let's give some examples of what this means in practice, Noni Darwish. For example, the following are either condoned by Sharia, if not actually obligatory, as I understand it. Wife beating, marital rape, female genital mutilation, honor killing of women, unequal justice before the law for divorce and rape and child custody. Talk a little bit about how this could be. What purpose does it serve to so badly treat women in your culture and society?
There is a purpose, and I didn't realize it except maybe in the last few years when I really tried to dig why Islam is very adamant at oppressing women, because it's not normal. It's not a norm in society that the whole culture, including women, prosperous and wealthy and strong women in the Middle East, agree with Sharia to oppress women. And I found out, and I wrote this extensively in my last book, Holy Difference, on the fact that there is an actual purpose for the oppression of women. And it's because Islamic society, the number one purpose of Islam is to do jihad, to expand at the expense of the rest of the world. Expansion of Islam is the purpose of Islam. It is not life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, as we know in the West. Biblical values teach us that family comes first. It's God, family, and country. So family, in the biblical sense, is one man, one woman, and to treat your wife as you want to treat the church. And this does not exist under Islam. The number one in Islam is not God, family, country. The number one under Islam is Allah, jihad, 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 expansion of Islam at the expense of everybody, but especially at the expense of family happiness between one man and one woman. Because a happy family, a happy man, a married man to one woman would not want to go and give up his life for jihad.
So, Noni, let me just get a sense from you. This is a chilling thought that how you treat women is something that is subordinated to, you know, the violence and conquest that Sharia demands of its followers. But in your experience, is a practice like wife beating, for example, or FGM, for example, is this an anomaly? Is it something that is the exception rather than the rule? Or is it really widespread, even in countries where these things are illegal, like in the United States?
Totally widespread. And it's widespread because it performs a purpose. It destroys the relationship between a man and a woman. Treating women bad, that diminishes the relationship immediately. It makes women and men not look at each other as a loving relationship. And that can only serve the concept of jihad, because that tells the man that his number one duty is not his wife. It's not even his children. A man is honored when he gives his child to jihad. A woman is honored when she gives her child to jihad. That tells us that before love between a man and a woman, jihad comes first.
And FGM, I know we've talked about it before. Female genital mutilation is, again, denying pleasure to a woman and keeping her submissive to the man and freeing him to go to jihad because she doesn't have the same attachment she might otherwise have. Is this commonly practiced here as well as elsewhere in Muslim communities, do you think?
Well, there is a challenge for Muslims here because it's not legal to do that to an underage girl without her. If she's over 18 and she wants to do it to herself, that's a different situation. But to do it to a child without consent is illegal in America. And I hope that this does not start happening here, but unfortunately it has started happening.
I just want to say that the Centers for Disease Control say that 500,000 women, more or less, and girls are either already victims of this practice of mutilating their genitals or will be. So It may not be as commonplace as it is in your native Egypt, I guess, where it's some 90-some percent, as I'm told, but it's still too many, whatever it is. Noni, we have to pause for just a second. When we come back, I'd like to switch gears and ask you, as a leader of Arabs for Israel, what you make of the president's announcement yesterday that he will be recognizing Israel's capital and moving our embassy to it. That and more with Noni Darwish. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.